The Fullness of Wind, a variation on the canon in D major by Johann Pachelbel, who lived and probably wrote that piece in 1680. That's from Brian Eno's groundbreaking 1975 album called Discrete Music. And what was groundbreaking about this album is it was a major landmark in the establishing a genre, a style of music called ambient music, kind of an experimental musical style. Ambient music, it's like it's more about establishing an environment for the listener, a subtle atmosphere like chill music, impressionistic, something that creates an environmental space. Not exactly background music, but something like that. It's called ambient music. And it led to another type of music that Brian Eno is also really known for, called generative music. And it seemed to grow naturally out of that concept. What is generative music? Well, we heard the 1975 album Discrete Music, and Brian Eno has continued to develop that genre of music, and in 2012 released his most recent solo album is called Lux, and it takes the idea of the ambient generative music to its really mature form. So generative music, it sounds very artificial to me, the concept of having a computer or other machine randomly generate bits of music never sounded very appealing to me when I heard the concept of generative music. You know, I didn't think it sounded very creative. And as a musician myself, you know, I couldn't understand the idea of all the sampling going on in modern music. How is that creative? Well, Brian Eno has written several essays and books on the subject. And he writes about generative music, and after I read what he had to say, I understood it from a completely new perspective. So I thought it would be interesting to read this quote from him, because he talks about wind chimes as an example of generative music. And the song that we just heard, The Fullness of Wind, it all seems to tie together. Generative music, and here's a quote from Brian Eno. Some very basic forms of generative music have existed for a long time, but as marginal curiosities. Wind chimes are an example. But the only compositional control you have over the music they produce is in the original choice of notes that the chimes will sound. Recently, however, out of the union of synthesizers and computers, some much finer tools has evolved. The works I have made symbolized to me the beginning of a new era of music. Until 100 years ago, every musical event was unique. Music was ephemeral and unrepeatable, and even classical scoring couldn't guarantee precise duplication. Then came the gramophone record, which captured particular performances and made it possible to hear them identically over and over again. But now there are three alternatives: live music, recorded music, and generative music. Generative music enjoys some of the benefits of both of its ancestors. Like live music, it is always different. Like recorded music, it is free of time and space limitations. You can hear it when and where you want. I really think it is possible that our grandchildren will look at us in wonder and say, "You mean you listen to exactly the same thing you used to listen to it over and over again?" So generative music, you know, so those are some very, you know, fairly sophisticated and refined ideas that seem to belong to a classical realm or an avant-garde realm. And yet Brian Eno has had a major influence on some of the most commercially successful and mainstream music of the last half century. We're going to be listening to the music that Brian Eno has produced with the bands Talking Heads, U2, and Coldplay. and some major music here. And Brian Eno's theories have as much influence over the recordings of this music as the actual composition of the songs themselves. It's pretty amazing. So let's get started a little bit on this musical journey. At the end of the program, we're going to hear Brian Eno talk a little bit about an iPhone app that he has created that will allow you to experience his concept of generative music itself. When you listen to this music, we're about to hear an album that Talking Heads released in 1980 called Remain in Light. We're going to hear a song called Houses in Motion. And, you know, you usually listen to the singers and you usually listen to the words, but I want you to try to focus on the soundscape, on the sound of the instruments, because that is where Eno's influence happens. That incredibly multi-layered textures going on in this music. David Byrne shares songwriting credits, publishing credits with Brian Eno on every song in the Remain in Light album. So this is a song by David Byrne and Brian Eno from Talking Heads 1980. It's called Houses in Motion. And a lot of the music I'm playing for you today, in fact, most of it is on vinyl. So enjoy yourselves. Thank you.
For a long time I felt without style or grace, wearing shoes with no socks in cold weather. I knew my heart was in the right place. I knew I'd be able to do these things. As we watch him digging his own grave, it was important to know that was where he's at. Can't afford to stop, that is what he believed. He'll keep on digging for a thousand years.
I'm
House is in Motion from Talking Heads' 1980 Remain in Light album. That song is produced and co-written by Brian Eno and David Byrne. That very same year, 1980, after the Talking Heads album comes out, David Byrne and Brian Eno collaborate on another project, an album called My Life in the Bush of Ghosts, released that same year. And it's really built around a bunch of... it's about that generative music concept. Where it's an experimental thing where you take fragments of things and you weave it together into a texture. And there's a lot of radio broadcasts that Brian Eno collected, and he uses this on the album, along with a bunch of samples of African and Middle Eastern world-type music. My Life in the Bush of Ghosts. So it sounds really strange. We're going to listen to a song called Help Me Somebody. Help Me Somebody. And this was this is from the 1980 Bush of Ghosts recording. And then what just really, okay, here's a phrase for you. What really blows my mind is that in 2009, David Byrne and Brian Eno reunited to do another collaboration. And the album was released in 2009 called Everything That Happens Will Happen Today. Well, David Byrne went out and did a live tour in support of that album. Unfortunately, Eno did not perform on the tour. But he, David Byrne, does a live version of the song Help Me Somebody from My Life in the Bush of Ghosts. So we're going to listen to both of these recordings, the first one from the 1980 studio album, and then the second one live by David Byrne on tour in 2009. One more thing about My Life in the Bush of Ghosts. They did a 25-year anniversary release of the album, and part of the marketing tool about it is they allowed people to log into a website, and they gave them access to all the master tracks, the multi-tracks to the song that we're about to hear, Help Me Somebody, and they let people do a bunch of remixes, upload their remixes, and then Eno picked one. Anyway, right now we're going to listen to the song Help Me Somebody from My Life in the Bush of Ghosts.
It's not look at yourself. See if you're the kind of person God wants you to be. It's no big thing. It's a small thing. What people think.
David Byrne, live on tour in 2009. That song is called Help Me Somebody. David Byrne and Brian Eno, My Life in the Bush of Ghosts. My name is Kathy Geary, and you're listening to Now and Then here on WJFF, award-winning hydro-powered radio. And if we ever needed water to run the station, we have plenty, what with all the rain happening in the past couple of days. So let's get back to the music and the concepts of Brian Eno. He's really made a stamp on contemporary music by his production work with some of the most popular mainstream commercially successful artists of our time. And yet he himself seems to be a rather elusive figure in the musical world. Right after he completed this work with Talking Heads, he started working with U2, and the first album that he worked on with them was called The Unforgettable Fire from 1984. Brian Eno was a co-producer on that album with a friend and a collaborator of his, Daniel Lanois. So Eno worked on The Unforgettable Fire with U2 in 1984, The Joshua Tree in 1987, Octoon Baby in 1991, and then again in 2000, All That You Can't Leave Behind. So Brian Eno, let's listen to two tracks from the Joshua Tree album that he produced in 1987. First, we're going to hear The Streets Have No Name, followed by a song called Exit. There's some other interesting things about a collaboration that he did with U2. I'll tell you more about that after we listen to these two songs.
he had a way he wanted to believe in the hands of love.
You Too, from 1987, The Joshua Tree. We heard, the song we just heard is called Exit, and before that, The Streets Have No Name. That song was co-produced by Brian Eno. You know, he worked on several albums with U2, but there was one album that he actually collaborated with U2 on, and it turned out to be such a Brian Eno creation that they decided that they weren't going to call it U2, that they actually renamed the band, even though it basically is U2. They call it Passengers instead of U2, because they all felt they were passengers on Eno's creation. We're about to hear a track from the album. It's called, the name of the album, 1995, is called Original Soundtracks 1 by Passengers, and it's a strange album. There's 168 tracks on this album, and they're all 3 and 4 minutes long. Most of them are instrumental, and it says on the cover of the album that they're royalty free and can be used, you know, in any way that the user would like, which is an extension of Eno's concepts of generative music. Anyway, another person that collaborated on this album was Luciano Pavarotti, and they released a single from this album of the 168 tracks in 1995, and the single is called Miss Sarajevo. So let's listen to this recording by U2, known as Passengers, the song and the album by Brian Eno, Miss Sarajevo. Sarajevo by Brian Eno with the band Passengers, which is actually U2, and Luciano Pavarotti from 1995, the album called Original Soundtracks. That very same year, Microsoft Corporation approaches Brian Eno and asks him if he would design the startup sound for their new operating system, Windows 95. And so sure enough, if you didn't know it, you've been listening or you have heard Brian Eno's music probably thousands of times. It's kind of an interesting little story. In 1995, he did an interview in the San Francisco Chronicle, and here's what Brian Eno had to say about composing the Microsoft Windows operating system sound. The idea came up at the time when I was completely bereft of ideas. I'd been working on my own music for a while and was quite lost, actually. And I really appreciated someone coming along and saying, here's a specific problem, solve it. The thing from the agency said, we want a piece of music that is inspiring, universal, blah, blah, da, 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 optimistic, futuristic, sentimental, emotional, this whole list of adjectives. And then at the bottom it said, and it must be 3 1/4 seconds long. I thought this was so funny and an amazing thought to actually try to make a little piece of music. It's like making a tiny little jewel. In fact, I made 84 pieces. I got completely into this world of tiny, tiny little pieces of music. I was so sensitive to microseconds at the end of this that it really broke a logjam in my own work. Then when I'd finished that and went back to working with pieces that were like 3 minutes long, it seemed like oceans of time. Anyway, so I was going to try to play that little sound for you, but I'm having a technical problem. Anyway, so the Windows 95 operating system sound. Brian Eno, known as a producer, and I was really surprised to learn that he also produced the album from Coldplay called Viva La Vida in 2008 and the follow-up album, Milo Xylito. We're going to listen to a little bit of that album by Coldplay. They give a credit in the liner notes that the song we're about to hear, it's an instrumental song, and I think it reflects Brian Eno's style. Life in Technicolor use a large sample of Light Through the Veins written by John Hopkins. Apparently, John Hopkins is a good friend, a guitarist, because in 2009, Brian Eno did one of his first live appearances in years at the Luminous Festival at the Sydney Opera House, a live appearance, and he performed with the electronic artist John Hopkins, who pretty much wrote the big sample for Life in Technicolor from the Coldplay album. When Brian Eno worked with them, he told the band that every single track on this album has to sound different. And so when you listen to the entire Viva La Vida album, you start to understand the effect that a producer has on a band. I mean, Coldplay, they had already released some recordings together. And it's like, you know, there's a chemistry that goes on in a band like that. And it's very tight. It's very tight. It's like a relationship with four people. And all of a sudden you introduce a stranger into the room. And Brian Eno comes in and he tells Chris Martin that, you know, you've been relying on your falsetto in a lot of your music. And so I want you to sing and I want you to perform in the lower part of your voice on this album. So he set up some real challenges for Coldplay, and the music they produced is amazing. Let's listen to two tracks from the 2008 Coldplay album, Viva La Vida. We'll hear Life in Technicolor, the instrumental piece, followed by Cemeteries of London. Coldplay, produced by Brian Eno.
Save the night time for your weeping.
Coldplay from their Viva La Vida album. We just heard a little bit of Cemeteries of London and Life in Technicolor. And you know, when you put that next to the U2 music and the Talking Heads music, you know, and you think about the production values, you can kind of separate the style of the band from the style of the producer. And I just hear the similarities and the influence that Brian Eno has on all of these musicians as the producer. Let's listen to some of Brian Eno's own music from his most recent recording called Luke's. This is his most recent foray into ambient music. Brian Eno. Thank you. I'm Kathy Geary, and you've been listening to Now and Then. I hope you enjoyed today's program, the music of Brian Eno. Thank you so much for listening. Support for this program comes from our listeners and from the Cooperage, 1030 Main Street, Honesdale. Be entertained, be challenged, be inspired. TheCooperageProject.org. This is 90.5 FM WJFF, Jeffersonville, New York, and 94.5 FM W233AH, Monticello, New York. We're streaming online at WJFFradio.org. It's about 5 seconds before 2 o'clock, and it's 87 degrees outside. The